Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm so happy to see all of you here today. We have so many announcements. This is like a busy time of year. I know you wouldn't think it would be. So we do have a congregational meeting directly following worship. So make sure that you sit tight for about 10-15 minutes. I've been told that there are 5 angels left on the tree. So if you want one, man, you better like get back to that desk and pick out your angels. Carol would like you to know that the envelopes for 2024 are in the back next to the nativity. Please let her know if you need any changes to your envelopes or anything like that. Next week, we will have our Christmas party. It will be potluck. And we will have our White Elephant gift exchange. So if you would like to exchange a gift, you can make it as serious a gift or as silly a gift as you'd like. I might be going with silly. So we'll have that gift exchange. And remember, there's a max dollar amount of $10 for your gift. Just so we're not leaving anybody out. We'll be doing something new. I know you love it when I do this. We'll be doing something new on December 21st. That's the longest night of the year. Even though this is a joyful time for a lot of people, and we're all expected to be very happy because it's Christmas and everyone should be just holly jolly and very excited, it can be a really hard time of year for some people. If you're grieving a loss, if you're going through a difficult time, even if you're not, on December 21st at 6:30 p.m., we will have a more contemplative worship, and this will be a time where you don't have to pretend to be happy, and it will be a way that we can still worship God and be thankful for all that we've been given, but also have a little space for some lamenting. Any other? Yes.
Carly, can you take attendance? I can't see.
She did. She already did it. Yeah.
Also, the deacons are still collecting food for Christmas dinner.
Okay.
That we will need to get in probably sometime this week. Next Sunday.
So next Sunday will be the last. Okay. So the deacons are still collecting food for Christmas dinners. So just much like the Thanksgiving dinners, next week is going to be the last Sunday before we have to deliver those to the food bank. Okay. The poinsettia orders have already been taken up if you really, really, really want one. weren't able to sign up, please see Arlie. And then also, as I think about it, the Advent candle lighting, I mean, I guess we can just continue to have the choir do it, but it'd be real nice if you wanted to sign up for the Advent candle lighting. Okay. With that, let us gather together, place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings, and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Comfort, O comfort my people. We welcome God's tender words to us today. Prepare the way for your God. We gather for worship to prepare ourselves for Christ's coming. Christ is coming. The glory of God will be revealed. Thanks be to God for this good news. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Blessed Be the God of Israel. God promises forgiveness through Jesus Christ. On this second Sunday of Advent, let us approach God in humility and faith. Eternal God, John the Baptist prepares the way by calling upon us to repent. We have failed to share as we should. We have failed to honor the poor and the oppressed. We have failed to bear fruit worthy of your salvation. Have mercy upon us, God. Heal and forgive us so we can welcome Christ with pure and genuine hearts. Amen. With joy, let us draw water from the springs of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Remind us of your power throughout this Advent season. In times of weakness, remind us that you are the one who gives strength. In times of confusion, remind us that you are the one who reveals truth. In times of doubt, remind us that you are the one who gives hope. We thank you for being our mighty God. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
As heralds of God's good tidings, let us lift up our voices with strength this day, praying to the one who comforts, restores, and heals. We come to you this day, O God, with a deepening anticipation of your birth among us. We thank you for the gift of your love. We pray for the church throughout the world and for all the ministries that build up the body of Christ, that in our many vocations we may serve to your glory. We pray for this nation and for all nations, remembering especially those who are victims of political and social injustice. We pray for elected officials and all leaders, that they will govern with courage and equity. We pray for all who are in need, for the sick, the destitute, and the dying, for strangers in our land, for the invisible ones, for the elderly and children, for parents and grandparents, for those who live alone and those who live lonely in the midst of family. We also offer up our thanksgiving. Peggy would like to say a prayer of thanks for all of the prayers of concern and offers of help that she has had while going through a little bit of health difficulty recently. God, we remember with mercy those who sleep without shelter, cold and vulnerable, lacking enough food, those who are overworked and those who have no work. Stir up in us the capacity to see ourselves in their struggles and to act so that others may have life abundant. We pray for this community, for our neighbors and for our friends, and for those with whom we study and work. Guide and strengthen all people in our common life to know the fits of your grace and love. May all that we ask and all that you see is needed in our world be given to your people. All these things we ask as we pray the words our Savior Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Wild and Lone the Prophet's Voice.
Yeah.
Please be seated. In the faithful offering of ourselves, we participate in God's righteous work, meeting in the middle. Let us offer our lives and gifts to God, for God has invited us to share in the building of a new creation. Thanks be to you, O God, maker of heaven and earth. Take and use these gifts we offer to further your purpose in the world and to fulfill the promise of the world to come. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news is Jesus Christ. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts with wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Open us, Holy One, to your word and your way. Clear our minds of holiday distractions and busy tasks. Fill our hearts with the humility we need to hear and receive the message you intend for us today. Amen. So last week, before I was so inconveniently infected with COVID, that was not fun, by the way. I was planning on introducing Advent as if it was like a movie, and the first week was the trailer, coming soon, the baby Jesus, and the second coming of Christ. Stay tuned for more. And Ing did a really great job. I got to listen in. Ing did a really great job of setting up how we wait for Advent. And this movie trailer tells us that this is going to be an awesome movie. It's a blockbuster event that you're not going to want to miss. It's going to cure all the ails of the world. But we have to wait. Unfortunately, the one thing that is missing from this movie trailer is when this movie comes out. When Christ will come again. Ing told you that all about how this movie is actually already showing. Amidst the war and racism and violence and illness that pervades our world, Christ is present and working alongside us. In our world and even within our own community, there are so many good things that are happening. Sometimes those things are being done blatantly in the name of Christ. But more often, those things are happening without mentioning his name. But Christ is still there. This second week of Advent, we find more people who are still waiting. Before Jesus even enters the scene in the Gospel of Mark, we find John the Baptist, this wild, wild man, in the wilderness. He's baptizing people. He's receiving confessions. He's preaching of someone stronger than I. Mark begins his gospel account not with the genealogy and birth of Jesus like Matthew does, or with the birth of John the Baptist like Luke does, or even with the beginning of time like the Gospel of John. Mark is about to tell us of a whole new beginning by connecting the prophecies of salvation from the Old Testament with the good news that he proclaims. Now, even though Mark only references Isaiah, Mark's community would have recognized the extra little snippets of Exodus and Malachi in the quotation. They would have been reminded of Elijah and David and Moses, Joshua. They would have understood the allusions to the Exodus story, roaming in the wilderness, crossing the Jordan River into their homeland. And then Mark introduces the person those prophets were speaking about. Not Jesus, John the Baptist. John is not the Lord. John is not the Savior the people are seeking, but John is the one who prepares the way. He's the one who makes the paths straight. He lowers the mountains, he raises the valleys, and he does that by readying the hearts for the coming of the Lord. John does this. John readies hearts by proclaiming confession and repentance through baptism. Wait, confession? Repentance? That doesn't sound very Christmassy. That sounds much more Lenty. It doesn't sound like good news. Who wants to embrace repentance and confession? That sounds awful. But repentance means a change of mind, a turning around, a 180. John was calling Israel and all of us today to wholeheartedly return to the Lord. And the way that we return to the Lord is by facing the truth about ourselves, about being honest about our actions and even our thoughts. It's about acknowledging our need for forgiveness. But beyond acknowledging our need for forgiveness, it also means that we have to change the direction of our lives. And that's a tall order. That's a huge ask. Like I said, that sounds much more like a Lenten practice, not much of an Advent activity. It sounds really uncomfortable, to be honest. This is supposed to be a lighthearted and cheerful time of year, right? Yes. But this kind of discomfort leads us into a deeper love for God and neighbor. This kind of discomfort can be holy. It can be sacred. This kind of discomfort can be sacred when it spurs our hearts towards loving actions. Discomfort is a blessing when it drives us to seek justice and liberation for everyone. This isn't the kind of discomfort that cuts off. This is the kind of discomfort that brings us closer to God's promises by making space for us to receive them. The people of Judea and Jerusalem flocked to John to be baptized in the River Jordan. There was a deep spiritual hunger, and John wasn't just talking. He wasn't just giving lip service. He had actions. He had things to follow through. But baptism, isn't baptism a Christian thing? Kind of. So there's a Greek word called, the Greek word is baptizo. It's where we get the name of our sacrament, baptism. And really, that Greek word just means to dip or immerse in water. It didn't become a sacrament until a little later. But the Jewish people of the day, even Jewish people today, are familiar with ritual washings that symbolize internal purification. So when a person became ritually defiled, maybe they touched a pig or women who have menstruated, they would be required to immerse themselves in flowing water, a mikvah. So baptizo, dipping or immersing oneself in water as an appeal for forgiveness, wasn't entirely an unfamiliar concept. And the fact that this was the Jordan River, wow, exceptional symbolic significance. This was the river that the Israelites crossed to enter into the promised land upon return from Egyptian exile. John's call to baptism was to reaffirm the Jewish people's identity as God's people, to come into the desert wilderness once more and symbolically re-enter the promised land through the water. John was leading the way through to freedom. Not freedom from Pharaoh, but freedom from sin. So because John was doing this baptizing, because he was associated with all of the symbols and the power of a prophet, the people were curious and they asked him if he was the Messiah, Are you the one we're waiting for? I mean, it does seem like John is doing much of the work of that Jesus is coming to do, right? But John is very clear. He can only baptize with water. There are limitations to his baptism. The work he does is only in preparation for the true Messiah. The true Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And while John's baptism was more than the usual purification ritual that can be repeated, it's still limited. It's still only an outward sign of repentance. And that is important. But John's baptism couldn't establish a permanent righteousness. Rather, those who repented and received baptism from John would be the ones who were prepared to receive the one to come. I think it's really important to state here that John the Baptist didn't awaken repentance in order to bring the Messiah. People didn't repent to make the Messiah come. Sometimes we think that if we're perfectly obedient, if we strictly adhere to Christian ethics, if we do the theology exactly right, if we follow all of the rules, then we can build the way of the Lord. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. We don't build the highway. We don't wait for God to come on a highway that we build. God has already drawn all of us near, even before we repent. John's preaching and baptism simply delivered a receptive audience for Jesus' ministry. John tells us that the one who is coming, Jesus, the Christ, will baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. There is no limitation to Jesus' baptism. Repentance and baptism with water are a good start, and they might help to reorient someone's life. But baptism with the Holy Spirit, that results in a permanent relationship with God at the end of time. The baptism of the 21st century, our baptisms of today, are just as similarly limited as John's baptism. At every baptism we've been to, if you can remember the last baptism that you were at, you were asked to remember your baptism. And I know for a lot of us here, that's pretty much impossible because we were probably little wee things. But we're not just asked to remember the act, like our actual personal individual baptism, but to remember the meaning of our own baptisms. That we are truly loved, that we are forgiven, we are accepted without any reason, and we didn't have to earn it. We are all created as God's children, in God's image. And God calls each and every one of us to serve just that way, as we are. John gives us one more thing to remember about our limited baptism. That baptism is an act of preparation for receiving the good news of Jesus. Our hearts are changed. So John the Baptist says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And although John's and our baptism has limitations, it still enables us to prepare by engaging the world in a heart-changing manner. Thanks be to God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We get to do the rest. Thanks be to God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit get to do the rest of that work. And we continue to wait. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, While We Are Waiting, Come. Don't forget, we have our congregational meeting. So before we prepare for that, let me offer a charge and a blessing. We do not leave this sanctuary and leave our God behind. God's call is clear. We are to prepare our hearts, minds, communities, and the world for our Prince of Peace. May this call be ever before us, guiding us, inspiring us, enabling us to be Christ's body. May the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all now and forever. Amen.